happened so fast, I don't know how you caught my heart. Just like I don't understand how we got this far apart. Gotta hold you at arm's length, or am I reaching out and you just testing my arm strength? There's something about this tug of war make me want you more. This silly game we play where all the points is underscored. I don't know what the fronting's for, you get me the highest. Memories of you, any moment my mind drifts. I catch whispers that let me know that I'm this. We don't speak for weeks, still the feeling is timeless. Attaining love, uninvited, but can't fight it. Even though it's unrequited, I just write it and recite it. You remain undecided, and even when I despise it, you get my falling position, undivided. What you won't do for the ones you hold true becomes even less when the same ones hold you. Now that's a mic check you can cash, 1-2. That's what makes my art a war like Sun Tzu. The same reason I make dreams come true. Cause baby, I ain't afraid to love you. It's love and fear. Forever.
Welcome back. This is another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. I am Jay Flan. I think I'm going to drop the EWF for right now, and this is just going to be the What Is TWS Road to Recovery series. This is episode 8, and this is just chronicling my my journey on the road to recovery from alcoholism. I think by now, I won't go that far back in the story of, you know, what got us here, but just my everyday struggle. So, no pun intended with the complex journey. But anyway, I thought I'd start the show out this week with that snippet from a song I used to work on back when I thought I was a rapper. And the whole idea behind my project that I was working on, or my album, I like to call it a project, sounds more artistic. But the whole idea behind it was Love and Fear. That was the name of it. And the concept being that, you know, in my mind, love and fear are the two most powerful emotions we human beings experience. And almost every other emotion is kind of a derivative of the two. And, if you ever meet me, I actually have a tattoo on my arm that's, in hindsight, sort of resembles a swastika. Supposed to be an L and F kind of intertwined, but I maybe didn't think that through all the way. But anyway, yeah, I got the love and fear tattoo on my arm. It's just been a theme, you know, that's been around me for a long time, and it's been a theme that kind of reemerged this week in my life in terms of my recovery, and realizing how major of a role fear played in all of this, and continues to play in my life. And I guess it's either the, you know, overcoming fear or succumbing to the fear that at this point determines how things work out for me. It's been crazy to go back and look at everything and kind of, you know, see it a different way and realize, man, I just really lived in fear for a long time and used that as an excuse to make a lot of the decisions that I made. Pardon me. Some little squirt with wedges of lime. It's quite sublime. You should try it sometime. I wasn't even trying to rhyme. Oh! Alright, anyway, it's been a pretty good week for me. So much is going on right now, like life is moving really fast, and opportunities are just coming, and they're coming, like, to me. I'm not having to seek out these opportunities, the opportunities are just coming my way. And in terms of, you know, my program and the things I've been working on in terms of my life, this is one of the, you know, sort of promises, you know, with that program. If you follow these steps, or you adhere to these steps, if you can commit yourself to living this way, that the doors will open. That if you stop living trying to determine what the outcome is, and if you stop doing things with a specific, you know, result in mind, that the results that you didn't even know you wanted will come. So instead of ending up with that resentment because you didn't get what you were working all this time to get, you'll actually be more, I don't know, excited and encouraged by the results you get that you never expected. So that's kind of where I am right now. And it's also making me realize that that this isn't really new. You know, that throughout my entire life, I think there have always been opportunities around. There's always been people presenting me with things and chances and just moments where I could have took a leap of faith and maybe changed the course of my life at that time. And fear was the thing that kept me, you know, kept me away from making the changes necessary to be who I wanted to be. I think Will Smith has some videos out there where he's like, you know, everything, all of the best things in life are on the other side of fear. And it sounds like real cliche and it's a nice story. It's all about like jumping out of planes and shit like that. But hey, I'm noticing that it's kind of, you know, it's pretty true. That, you know, the things that are happening to me now, I think the way I normally would have reacted to them is I would have immediately got afraid. You know, the fear would have been, you know, can I live up to it? Can I take advantage of this opportunity? Is this opportunity real? You know, and my mind would have just come up with all of these, you know, things to be afraid of. And then I would have drank to try to handle the fear. Like, I wouldn't have wanted to feel that way. You know, I get that anxiety. I get that tightness in my chest. It hurts. Like, you know, it's like a physical manifestation of the fear. And so I would have drank, you know, to try to get rid of that feeling. And then probably would have drank so much that I miss out on whatever the opportunity is. Like, that becomes secondary. Like, now I'm on a binge and the whole whatever the thing was I was drinking about isn't even the focus anymore. The focus is on like continuing to drink. And so of course I'd have missed out on the opportunity and then drank because I was upset. I missed out on the opportunity and the cycle continues, you know. And everything I'm learning these days is about recognizing those cycles, recognizing the triggers and like, you know, stopping it before you ever get there. So I really feel like I'm in that what was that movie, Yes Man or something? Is that the name of it with Jim Carrey? And he goes to some like cultish thing and learns to say yes to everything or something like that. Like, I feel like that's where I am right now. That like things come and it's just like, man, fuck it, why not? Like, let's see what happens. Like, I'm gonna do it. You know, I'm either gonna get there and I'm gonna perform, or I'm gonna get there and I'm gonna fall apart. But I won't know until I get there. Like, let me accept the opportunity. Let me give it a genuine attempt, and maybe I can do it, maybe I can't do it, but I won't know until I get there. And why be afraid of what I, you know, what I don't know? I have no reason to really fear it. And then I'm also getting to the point where I'm accepting the fact that it's okay to be afraid. Like, it's okay for that to be the initial emotion. Like, when, you know, when something comes your way, or you have an opportunity, or something unknown is in front of you, it is okay to, you know, have the reflex of fear. It's just not okay to let that fear prevent you from moving forward. I don't have to get down on myself for being afraid of something. That's normal. That's, you know, that's just a regular human emotion. What I should avoid is letting that fear control my decisions, letting that fear, you know, pull me away from the best things in life. And so right now there's just like an overabundance of good shit happening. And yeah, I think it's just the fact that these were the things that may have always been present. I was just too afraid to step forward. So it's an extremely dope time for TWS, for the podcast, for this show, for our normal show. I hate to call it normal, like we're abnormal. But it's a really good time, really good time. And I spoke to my sponsor about the whole, like, too much kumbaya and if I should be worried about like losing some of my negative. Like, you know, I don't want to go 100% positive. Like, I do enjoy that negative side of me a little bit, and I feel like it's entertaining, and I need to hold on to some of it. I was getting a little worried about, you know, being like so super overly positive and just loving everybody and seeing rainbows and butterflies everywhere I went. My sponsor was like, nah, dude, just enjoy the high, because the shit is coming back. Like, you know, like, this is just, everybody goes through this like euphoric stage when they first enter sobriety and, you know, kind of get from under the disease. And, you know, of course, now you can see the world clearly again. And the sun is brighter and colors are, you know, colors pop, whatever. But the darkness is still there. It's coming back. Now you just got to build up the tools to be prepared to deal with it when it comes back. So I'm going to enjoy these kumbaya moments. So y'all just get used to me, you know, loving the shit out of everybody. I love you, dude. I love you, sis, bro, whatever. Appreciate you listening. You might have needed to hear that today. I might have needed to say it today. That's just how I'm living right now. Embrace it. But yeah, I'm thinking about the fear and like how it affected all aspects of my life. And I'm realized I used to feel like my major issue was anger. And I would try to suppress emotions because I tended to get angry. And when I got angry, I got like overly angry. Like I went over the top with it. There was several times where like I'd be mid argument. And almost like I'm looking at myself like, dude, you are taking this way too far. But then in my head, I'm like, I'm already out here. Like, if I just back up now, I look crazy. So I got to stay in the anger. Like, I gotta keep this going. I can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't punch a hole in the wall and then be like, man, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, no, you got to keep hulking it out. Like, oh, you really look crazy. See, I was so afraid of being angry all the time that I tried to go numb. Tried to be like, you know, super chill. Like, I don't get happy, I don't get sad, I don't get angry. And I'm realizing that it wasn't anger. Like, anger was the misdirection of the fear.
Sorry, I don't understand.
I wasn't talking to you, Google, so you shouldn't understand. Anyway, apologize for that, people. Anger was the misdirection of the fear. You know, I've always wanted to be a husband and a father. And because of the way I grew up, I used to have a lot of fear and anxiety about whether or not I could do that successfully. You know, I didn't feel like I had an example to pull from. I didn't know what being a husband was. I didn't know what being a father was. And could I really do it? Would I just mess up somebody's life? And I think I took that fear and used it as the reason to never try really hard. At being a dad, like never, like because I was so afraid of failing, I don't even want to put the effort. Cause if I put the effort into it and I don't make it, then I'm a failure. If I never put the effort into it, then it's not that I failed and I never tried, you know. And so a lot of situations with my wife and my daughter, I think I just like stood on the sidelines. It was like, if I get in the game, I could possibly lose. I could possibly fuck up. I stay on the sideline and. You can always say, maybe I wasn't a good dad, but it was because I didn't try. And I'm not real, like, fucked up thinking. Like, I'm not excusing the thought process. I'm making it seem like it makes any sense. Because it doesn't. It doesn't. It's clearly insanity. But that's the way it was going. And then I would come up with reasons why, you know, it was your fault that I didn't want to get in the game. You know, I could be a good dad if you just stop doing this. Or I could be a good husband if you just stop talking to me this way. Or if you stop, you know. Everything was somebody else's fault, and it was always a reason to not try because somebody else was making it impossible for me to be successful. So there was no point in even trying because, you know, I was being blocked by whoever or whatever. And that was just me substantiating my fear, like me just coming up with a reason why it was okay, you know, to not try. Not because I was really angry about a situation, but because I was afraid of trying. I was afraid of trying and failing. And now that, you know, I kind of put some of those things to the side, good things in life are happening. You know, this podcast is a scary situation. But fuck it, though. You know, I got to really take, you know, I have been like a rhetoric, you know, king for a while. I got all the cliches and I know all the phrases and I talk a good game, but I have not been living it. And now's the time. Now's the time to recognize it's okay to make that mistake. What's not okay is that if you recognize it, that you continue down that path. And I'm recognizing it now. I've been talking all this good shit, be the light, fuck it though, you know, and then like living the complete opposite way. Like so afraid that I couldn't be the light, not brushing it off, not living a fuck it though life. Like holding on to resentments, and holding on to fear, and holding on to anger, and using that as the reason why I never had to participate or never had to really put everything I had in anything, you know, because I've tried about everything. I've been a rapper, you know, I got my IT career, I've been a poet. I mean, I've had opportunities to do just about everything you can think of, and just chose not to play the game. Chose not to suit up. But I'm here now. Y'all can't get rid of me. Got to deal with it. Back to the squirt. Man, they really need to rename that shit, though. It's delicious, though. But they got to rename it. I don't know, man. It was funny. I was thinking this week. I used to, like, when I would be heavy in my depression, I used to just sit back and wish that something good would happen. Like, man, I just need something good to happen. And in my mind, you know, something good happening was I win the lottery, or somebody comes approaches me with a new job. Or it was always something I really didn't have to do anything to get. You know, I just needed, like, life to change around me, not for me to change. And now that I'm looking at it the other way, like, all the shit that I was waiting to just happen is happening. But it's because I'm not focusing on that happening. I'm focusing on what I can do just to be, you know, a better me in the moment. So it's extremely dope. Very, 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 very dope. But yeah. We got some major things coming for TWS and the podcast and everything. We are really, really close to 10,000 plays. So, you know, again, I appreciate everybody who's ever, you know, given us an ear and listen to any of this. I know half the time I'm just rambling and it can be hard to follow, but whatever. As long as you press play and listen for 10 seconds, gave me that stat. I appreciate you. I love you. Kumbaya. What else? Man, I went to see I, Tonya. So, for those of you who don't know me, which is the majority of you, I grew up, my mother was a huge figure skating fan. So, we watched the Winter Olympics all the time, and we focused on figure skating. So, I definitely remember that whole incident with Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. And I don't think I ever really understood the ins and outs. So, watching the movie was, like, crazy dope. But the craziest thing about it was, like, they didn't have to sensationalize any of it. They didn't have to add anything to the story. Like, they literally took the actual interviews and depositions and stuff, you know, the things that these people said, and just reenacted them. And it's the craziest fucking movie you'll ever see. But it's hilarious, though. I loved it. And, you know, it's maybe the second comedy ever that almost made me cry. I did almost cry in that movie. And maybe, again, it's the whole Kumbaya, sobriety euphoria. I don't know. But I did almost drop a tear in that one. And I would only been the second comedy that's done that to me. The other one was Big Daddy. That scene where he's like, I don't even like the kangaroo song. Every time, though. The fucking kangaroo song. I don't even like the kangaroo. I'm about to drop a tear right now, man. I need to stop talking about it. But those are the only two comedies that have ever made me almost cry. So, I don't know, if you like Big Daddy, you might like I, Tonya. Completely different movies, but fuck it, though. It's a good movie. You should check it out. That was, my wife and I were able to have a parents' night out. Yeah, we went and saw that movie. And it was a good time. We still got a long way to go in getting our marriage back together, or deciding if, you know, that's the road we want to go down. But that was a good night, and I appreciated that night. It was nice to be out with my wife and have some fun. Watch a movie, talk about the movie, make jokes. A good time was had by y'all. So this is turning out to be a pretty short episode. Before, I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the Super Bowl. And I'm probably gonna drop this. I'm recording this right now on Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm probably gonna put it out tonight for our Monday release. The game hasn't started yet. Earlier in the afternoon, I do have my wings on deck. I will be partaking of wings and watching commercials, but that about it. I really don't give a fuck about this game. Like, I don't know that there's ever been a Super Bowl in my lifetime that I cared less about. Like, I'm normally rooting for somebody. Like, somebody, you know, I'm either rooting against somebody or for somebody. You know, I was never a Steelers fan, but when the Steelers, you know, played against the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, I was rooting for the Steelers. This one, I don't have a dog in the fight. If there was a way, this is the most hateful thing I'm ever going to say, but if there was a way that both teams could lose, that's what I would root for. That would be where I'd place my money. I really don't. I don't hate the Eagles, but I don't like the Eagles. I don't like the Eagles, and I don't really see them having a chance of winning. So I almost feel like me watching the Super Bowl is just going to be me watching Brady get another ring, and I'd rather gouge my eyes out than do that. So it's really sad. Like, I'm glad that I have this whole recovery thing, like, give me something else to focus on, because I think I'd be, like, pretty depressed if I was really, you know, my old self right now. I was really into football and, like, dependent on outside things for bringing me happiness. And I know I would have probably been looking forward to the Super Bowl all season long. And, like, this is the last game. And you know, I'm not going to have football for a while, so I got to embrace and enjoy this joint. And if it to be this game, it would have fucked with me. It would have hurt. But I got other stuff to do. So, fuck it, though. See how I'm living that life? I'm living that life now. I'm trying to do it right. I don't know who y'all rooting for, but yeah. If there was some way both teams could lose, if anybody knows of a way, hit me up. Oh, man. Other than that, I guess what I got coming up, I'm at the moral inventory stage of my recovery. So that's a scary thing. I got to go through this moral inventory. So y'all pray for me on that. And I'm going to leave you with one last lesson that I learned this week in my outpatient program, and that's learning how to value yourself. We were in a class, and the demonstration that we were given pretty much is, you know, take out a $20 bill, right? What's it worth? $20. All right. Blow your nose at that $20 bill. What's it worth? $20. Wipe your ass with that $20 bill. Still worth $20. You know, drop it on the ground, step on it. Still worth $20. You can rip it, and as long as you can tape it back together, still worth $20. So the point being, you can do all of that to a piece of paper, and it don't lose its worth. You know, why do we somehow think the mistakes we've made in the past make us less worthy? Learn to value yourself as much as you value a $20 bill. Snap, 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 snap. Or whatever. That's what I'm going to leave y'all with. I'm in a good mood. I'm happy. I hope your team loses. Because, like I said, I want both teams to lose. But I hope you enjoy the Super Bowl. Maybe they got some dope commercials. These wings better be vicious. Fuck it, though. Fuck it, though. Fuck it, though. I stole that from Fonte. Fonte, what is it? Tickle-o, 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 tickle-o. So I'm going to do the fuck it, though. Fuck it, though. Fuck it, though. Fuck it, though. What's the dude that got that? I tell on my whole bag, whatever that. It remind me of that too. You can give him some credit on that one as well. But I'm rambling for real now, so I'm out of here. Until we talk again, be safe and be the light. I thank y'all for listening. Peace.